It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we are here to talk some baseball. And oh my God, no Eddie again. I am saddened by him not being here, but he will be here next time. He's back next episode, or Tom will die. He's been very adamant about this.
I literally said that I will die if Eddie's not back next episode. This is very important.
It is. But for now, we will make do and we will discuss. And if my voice gives out, I apologize in advance because I had a 2-hour debate yesterday with my friends on something quite very interesting. And my voice is kind of shot right now.
Well, actually, I've got a funny story. Yesterday after the game, right, like a little bit before NFL draft time, My sister got mad at me, and she shook a Coke bottle, but she didn't know that the cap wasn't on all the way, and it wrecked my room a little bit.
Dang.
And that's why mixed with allergies, that's why my voice sounds a little deep today, just because I was so mad. But nothing got ruined. It's all good. But that yesterday kind of sucked. Minus Dave Gettleman trading back for the first time. Thank you, Dave. Very happy about that. That was a tremendous pivot. I know this isn't a Giants podcast, but I'm just very happy that we handled a situation like a competent organization, and I'm just so happy. So, yeah, baseball, not fun yesterday. So.
No, baseball was not fun. And just putting this out there, the debate I had was what constitutes a meal?
Oh,
and we went very deep. We started going into what's the dish, what's a side dish.
That's a good question.
It went pretty deep. And I swear to God, it really was 2 hours. I recorded an hour and 15 minutes of it just to
There is literally an entire Seinfeld episode dedicated to this debate.
It was pretty wild, man. And the end, the last thing we discussed is we got to pancakes. We're like, my argument was that pancakes are by itself are a meal. Under the context of breakfast, because the standards for breakfast are different versus dinner.
Correct.
And that was my argument. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, you don't really eat. You don't have to eat pancakes with anything else.
Yeah, like pancakes by itself are a meal. My friend would argue it's a dish, not a meal. I'm like, no, it's a meal.
Like you don't need anything else.
Yeah, you don't need anything else.
Do you need do you mean the same thing with like waffles as well?
You see, like waffles, I think it depends. If it's Eggo waffles, then I think that's not a meal.
Ooh.
In my opinion. But if it's pancakes, I think you have enough there where you can constitute it being a meal. Like we went into like everything. We went into like the quantity, the societal standards of it. We went into the science of it. We really could have made that like a full documentary, honestly.
We're going to need to come up with Food Center now.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But, I guess we can leave food behind and go into baseball now.
God damn it. This is, here's the thing. It was overall a decent road trip, right?
It was
5-3.
I would call an okay road trip.
Yeah. I mean, overall, you win 5 out of 8, go 5-3. You took 2 out of 3 from, Cleveland. You beat Shane Bieber, which was really cool. Garrett Cole. Pretty good, I would say. That guy just he's like He's like on a Cy Young pace right now. I'm very excited about that because the Yankees haven't had a Cy Young winner since like 2001 with Roger Clemens. So, you know, it would be nice. Just saying, it would be nice. But 5-3, but like that ending, like the beginning of the Baltimore City. Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, you cut out for a while. Okay.
Son of a bitch.
It might have captured you. I just didn't hear it.
Okay, I'm just gonna pretend like you did hear me. So but basically, here's what I'll say. 5-3. Gerrit Cole's very good. It was overall a pretty successful road trip. Okay.
No, agree.
But the ending with the Baltimore series put a bad taste in our mouths. Because
no, I would say if we win that last game, it becomes a great road trip.
Exactly, because you go 6-2. That's 4 games over 500 as opposed to 2 games over 500 on the road trip. And we just didn't do it because, you know, we're not good right now fully.
I mean, I'll say this. We're taking steps. I truly believe that. Like, we're taking steps in the right direction as a team. But we're not there yet. But at the very least, I don't look at this team anymore and I say, there's no way we can score even 2 runs. Like, I watch them and I think, okay, we can score. We have a couple guys that are hitting enough where I feel like we can run into a couple balls here and do some damage. I just don't feel like I'm at the point yet where I'm like, oh, we got a crappy pitcher in this game. We can easily score a good, you know, 5-7 runs. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there.
No.
But I am at the point where I'm like,
full confidence.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking we're going to get shut out every game, which is pretty much where my head was at like a week and a half ago. So I'll consider that progress.
Here's what I will say. The people that we needed to pick up, that we needed to see start picking it up, most of them started picking it up.
Yes, yes.
So
that,
like,
I definitely agree
like
with that.
You saw signs of life from Clint. You saw signs of life from Glaber. You saw signs of life from a lot of signs of life from Stanton.
Stanton's been very hot, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Gio's still doing his thing. DJ, well, we needed DJ to pick it up in the Baltimore series. He was just in line drives everywhere. You know, Gary had a few nice swings yesterday as well, so hopefully he can get hot as well. And, you know...
Gary pisses me. I don't even want him to get hot. I'm going to be honest. I don't care. I don't want him to get lucky and find his way back in the lineup just to suck for another month and a half. I don't want that.
We'll get into Gary later. But, you know, the one that, like, I struggle with is Aaron Hicks because he had a really good Cleveland series, right? He showed life there. But Baltimore series, I believe he went 0-16.
Yeah, it was not good. Not good at all.
Like, it was not good. It was like everything that, like, he did well in Cleveland, it just, like, it reverted back to shitty Hicks in Baltimore. And it's like, dude, you just took Shane Bieber deep. It's like, oh, my God. I'm not sure
what the Yankees are going to do with him right now, honestly. Like, I hope he picks it back up, but... Let's say we're mid-season and he doesn't. Yankees are going to have quite a conundrum on their hands, and they're going to be pissed at themselves for getting rid of Talkman if that happens. They will be very pissed. And I will say, we'll dive deeper into that trade later. I think it can work for the Yankees depending on how things pan out. I do think there's some upside in that trade for both sides. But with that said, if Gardy is not exactly what he used to be, so you don't know what you're going to get from there. And either way, the point of Gardy was always you signed him to be a backup. You did not want him to be your starting center or left fielder. That was never the intention of that move. No. In the case of Frazier, there's still a lot of room. He needs to improve more still. We saw signs of life. We saw some signs of life, but we need a larger sample size before we start saying, you know what, we should be fine. He should be good.
Clint's
not that big a deal.
Clint's back. Don't
you
even...
need to stop. You need to stop with that.
Clint's back.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think he's back.
That's not even a question. He's back. He's got his mojo back, baby.
Yeah. Let's pretend mojo means anything.
Oh, for Clint, mojo means a lot. Let's be honest. If he's not confident, he's gonna fuck up.
He's gonna suck for the next week, probably. I'm gonna be honest. I don't have much.
No. Made mechanical fixes. Made a few nice plays in the field. Yeah. Clint's back, baby. Hit a dinger. Okay. Hit his first dinger of the year.
I hope you enjoy Fantasyland, but yeah, moving on to reality.
Hitting balls hard, you know. Clint's back, baby. And, you know, now we just got to ride the Clint train.
Yeah, we'll pretend that train actually left the station.
The train is going to leave the station.
Yep, him with his, yeah, maybe when he gets above the 200 batting average, but we'll see.
He will.
Anyway, the Yankees, like you said, up and down, but one of the positives I've taken away from this road trip is we've seen some pitchers in the rotation step up, which is great. It gets really big because although the pitching necessarily has not been, it has not been what has plagued the team. It's definitely the offense if we're choosing one part of the team. But, you know, giving some length goes a long way for not just now, but for the long run, because you don't want this bullpen to be drained by the end of summer, which is what will happen if the starters aren't giving length. But, you know, we had Kluber go six innings. We had Herman go, Herman went seven, right?
Yes. Herman went seven.
He went seven. Tyone showed some at least signs of improvement, and I think he's going to take it a step forward next start. I'm looking at all these guys, and I'm saying to myself, there's upside there. And I will say, Herman, credit to him, because I'm going to be honest, I was really pissed after his first two starts, and I'll be honest, I overreacted saying send him down. It was a bit of an overreaction on my part.
Well, they did send him down.
I'll be honest. Well, yes, but I mean send him down. And keep him down, but in the end, I'm not too worried about the rotation. Maybe I mean, it's more about do we find a number two starter in what we have? I think that's the biggest thing because I'm not too worried about having a four. I think that's going to be the easy part. We have a one in Gerrit Cole. I think someone of that group will definitely step up to be a three. But do we find a true number two starter in the group of guys we have? That is one thing I can't say definitively.
Can you imagine if Luis Severino was actually, like, healthy?
He's the X factor, man. He is the X factor. If he's back and he's doing his thing, we're
can
good.
Can you imagine if we started this year opening day with 100% Cole and Severino? That's, like, you can make an argument. Like, that's the best 1-2 punch in the American League. I think the Dodgers might have us beat with like Bueller and like, you know, Bauer and Kershaw. But yeah, but like
it's such a crazy top three.
It is.
You can literally choose any of those two and you can argue it's the best top two and you're choosing out of three guys.
It's like what the and like you can't even rule out like guys like Tony Gonsolin.
No,
like,
not at all.
And like Dustin May and like they have Dustin David May, they have David. They have David Price pitching out of the bullpen, and, like, he's a quality starting pitcher still. And they've got Julio Urias as well. Yep. Like, they've got, like, 10 pitchers. Like, it's ridiculous. Just abolish the Dodgers. Let's not. But, yes, like, you're getting well, we should say, Aaron Boone said what Luis Severino is going to face live hitters soon. He's getting close. So, like, I don't know what that means. Personally, like he's probably gonna face some of our like minor league instructs people.
I was gonna say it'll be a sim game on the mound. Yeah. But he'll throw like 20 pitches maybe first time out, and he'll slowly ramp up until he's ready to pitch some actual minor league games for rehab. And if I had to guess, honestly, I'm gonna say he's back mid end of June.
Luis Severino back tattoo. Just letting the eagle fly, you know. I don't know, but that's my guess, actually. I think Meredith said late June, early July.
Yeah, I think late June is where it's at, if I had to give it a guess. I don't think it's going to take much longer than that, which is awesome because you're going to have a lot of time to actually build yourself up during the regular season. Like, he's not going to be crunching for time like he was in 2018.
Yeah, he can make like over 10 starts.
Yeah, no, totally. In 2018, that was rough. He had like two starts, maybe three tops going into the playoffs.
Yeah,
like, that was tough.
2019 actually, but yes, he had a shoulder.
Oh, 2019.
Injury.
You're right.
He had a shoulder injury, but you know what was crazy is he missed the entire year. He came back and he barely looked like he lost anything.
It was just his command was off. Like that was it.
He
was throwing gas still. Like, stuff looked great. He just had trouble putting guys away, I remember, because he, again, the control was just pretty off, but like he wasn't giving up runs though because his stuff was so good.
His stuff is just so good that it's like the Garrett Cole thing where like whenever Garrett Cole like misses a spot like 99 out of 100 they're still not hitting it.
Exactly,
it's just too good. So like Severino is like the same thing.
Like, his stuff is that good. Like it's not even an exaggeration. Like you're talking.
If Luis Severino wins a Cy Young one day, nobody's gonna be shocked.
Like, no,
it's just like yep, that kid is a special arm. So you know it's pretty cool that we developed him. I must say, but I miss Sevy. I've missed Sevy for a long time, and now we're very close to getting him back. He basically missed 60 games last year was like it's like a third of a season, 61-20, like a little more than a third, and then he missed basically all of 2019. So he's missed a year. So he missed about two seasons worth of baseball.
A decision, by the way.
What?
I'm kind of done with developing pitching prospects right now. I think I'm kind of done with it.
Why does Clark Schmidt keep hurting you?
That, and I feel like they almost either A, never work out, B, they get hurt, or C, I don't trust the Yankees because they give the guys too long to develop. And I think that's a big issue. I do. So right now, I'm kind of like, if I'm the Yankees, my new focus is developing bats.
It's very easy to develop bats.
And pay for your pitchers with both prospects and money. I think that's the way they got to go from now on. Because right now, if it's up to me, not for the deadline, because I know the Yankees aren't going to do anything at the deadline, but if we're in the offseason and we need to get a starting pitcher, or even if we don't like really desperately need one, but Kluber's...
You want to sign Noah Syndergaard? Yeah,
not even that. We don't even need Syndergaard, although I would love Syndergaard, of course. If Hal says I want Syndergaard, I'm not going to tell him no. I can promise you that, but if Kluber walks and we decide to let him go and the Yankees want to add someone, get rid of Clark and Davey right away for someone that's actually worth getting right off the bat that has at least 2 years of control and get me a super rotation. Because I want a super rotation. I'm going to be honest. I'm desperate for it. And we have the tools to make that super rotation right now. I mean – you're talking Severino and Cole at the top of a rotation. Like you said, that's top two in just about any rotation in baseball, easy. And you have Tyone in there with Monty, maybe Herman. I mean, you got some names there. If you just get one more legit top of the line arm, I mean, you have no problems whatsoever. You're coasting to the World Series probably in the AL. Mm. And I mean that. Like, it's not even me joking, especially with the bullpen the Yankees have. Really, it's just the bats need to wake up for this team, I think, for this year, and I have no concerns because if they do, I think Yankees still can make the World Series because the rotation is going to fix itself. I really believe it. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be okay. Just remember that Cleveland and Baltimore, they aren't necessarily great with the bats.
That's why I'm not going to get overly excited about winning some games against them. I want to see what they do against a real team.
Yeah,
that's much more telling.
But in a way, it's good that like people like Herman and Tyone and Kluber aren't facing these crazy good teams just yet because like they need to get the rust off still.
Oh, absolutely. That's my biggest concern. I've said from the beginning, like I never said I gave up on Kluber even when he started the struggle at the beginning. I said I think he'll be at least okay. But my biggest concern is how long does it take for him to get to that point? Are we talking 2 months before he's even looking decent? And is that the same for Tyone? And I think that was what I was worried about, because if you're taking that long, how many games do the Yankees lose in that time because of that? And what does that cost us in the division? And it's a valid question. It is, because right now we are what? I don't want to do division watching this early.
We're like four and a half. Four back.
Yeah, we're 4.5 games back right now. So Boston, I stand by it. Boston's not that good. Like I don't see a world where they don't decline a little bit. And that's just the God honest truth. I'm not trying to be this Yankees fan that's like, oh, it's Boston. Who cares? You know, they suck because they're Boston. No, I'm not an asshole. They just don't have that good of a team. And I genuinely believe that. I said it going in. I think they're going to be a decent team, I said. I think they might surprise people, and so far they are. I called that before the season started, but I don't think they're a division winner. Not at all. I think if they won the division somehow, they would get their asses kicked in the playoffs immediately. And I stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them as a division winner. I think they could win, like, a wild card game.
Yeah, wild card? Yeah, sure. I think they can do that. But I think as the records begin to correct themselves, as, you know, guys start hitting in the Yankees lineup and think, you know, just regular course correction over the course of a season, once we hit that, I think the Yankees will be where we expect. But I'm not going to say it's a guarantee because there are no guarantees in baseball or sports in general.
Can't predict baseball, Susan.
You really can't predict baseball, Susan. You just can't. So I'm going to hope for the best, but right now I don't see it happening. So Yanks, do what you got to do, but please don't give me that any of that entitled bullshit that you love to do where you assume you're going to be in first place. Actually play like you need, like you aren't going to win. You got to play that way. Play like you're hungry. Give me some of that. I need that.
Yeah, walk Cedric Mullins, too.
Oh, nice. Cedric Mullins. One thing we need to discuss. The Yankees' baseball IQ is scarily – it's dangerously low. I'm going to be honest about that. It's pretty bad.
It's like – it's not even that. It's just that they let their egos kind of dictate their decision a lot. Like,
it's a little bit of both.
Like, the reason they didn't walk Mullins isn't because they knew they were like they didn't think about the double play possibility. What they were thinking was Jonathan Loaisiga is going to blow 100 by him and that he was going to get the strikeout. And like, it's great. In theory, it's great to give your pitcher confidence like that, but if you just walk the guy and hypothetically instead of getting a strikeout with the next batter, but he gets a ground ball.
Loaisiga has a 58% ground ball percentage. 58. Literally 6 out of 10 times, basically, he is going to get a ground ball. And the other times, it will be a strikeout. But regardless, you have a good chance at a ground ball there. So go for the double play.
And also, the players after Mullins aren't fast. So, like, you could be, I think the on deck hitter was Hayes, actually, and he's actually pretty fast, but still, if he hits one hard enough, you can roll it up. If he hits a ground ball as well, you could throw to home as well. So like, there's no reason why Mullins had to be the one to hit, and then Aaron Hicks threw a floating duck to home.
And even so, even taking that out of the equation, Mullins has been hot.
He's been the best hitter.
His average is up to 340 on the season, and he's a contact guy. You're really going to pitch to a contact guy in a scenario where you're not trying to generate any contact? Come on.
That's
illogical. And even just John Boy mentioned this, and I didn't even think of this, but he's absolutely right. Why the fuck did Loaisiga not pitch the ninth? When you get to extra innings, you want to have your best strikeout guy in the mound, and he's absolutely right about that. Chapman absolutely should not have pitched the ninth inning. That's dumb. It made no sense. And I'll be honest, I didn't think of that. But they're the professionals. They should be smart enough to think of that. Me, I'm just a guy sitting at home watching the game on my couch. I'm not perfect. But with that said, they need to be able to pick up on that because that's just the name of the game in extra innings right now. You have a guy starting the inning on second base. You need strikeouts. So why is literally the best strikeout reliever in all of baseball this year not pitching in those innings? It does not make sense.
I agree. I mean, it's just like, I understand they want to get it to the 10th, and so you use your best reliever to get it to the 10th. But
But Loaisiga has a 1.17 ERA on the year. Like, the odds of him giving up a run are so slim anyway. Like, if you are the Yankees, you can't even be criticized for that because you made the right choice there.
Also, you can run on Chapman as well. So if, like, runner on second, you just run, go to third, and then you get a fly ball, and you win the game.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be that ballsy, I'm going to be honest. I don't think anyone's taking that chance.
But the thing about Chapman is, like, he struck out 2 guys per outing.
That's my point, though. There's a very good chance you're good with that. I mean, the Loaisiga is awesome and everything, but you need your best strikeout guy on the mound, extra innings, no exceptions. To me, it's inexcusable.
Yeah, it's just difficult. I mean, it's it would have been more fun if like Tyler Wade got a bunt down.
And that's exactly what I was going to get to next. Again, IQ in baseball. First off, you need to know how to bunt when you're in that role. Like, you, Tyler Wade has no excuse.
You're Tyler Wade, man.
You're Tyler Wade. Your job is literally to be a fast utility infielder that comes in to pinch run, play defense, and when needed, bunt. Yeah. And you're telling me that the one thing you need to do... Yeah, I went up to in that scenario saying there's no way they let him hit here. He's in a bunt because that's his job. That's literally his job.
Tyler Wade.
You know what? He's Tyler Wade, and you could not do that. And to make matters worse, you tried bunting twice with two strikes. Why? You don't bunt with two strikes. I don't care who you are. Try putting the ball in play. You're fucking fast. You might hit a little grounder and beat it out. But bunting, if you bunt that foul, you're fucked. And guess what? That's what he did. It made no sense. You never bunt with two strikes, and I will die on that hill. It makes no sense ever.
I have a bit of a Tyler Wade rant, to be honest.
Well, he sucks.
Here's the thing. Every time that he comes up, he does something to hurt the team. He fucks up a lot. He's like Clint, but not good. Clint's good. But, Tyler Wade, that guy's just a bad baseball player. He had good defensive metrics at second base last year, but, he's not really that good of a defender, right?
I mean, he's a pretty good defender, I would say, personally.
He's not really that good. But,
I'll disagree, but regardless.
You can't be
that empty with the bat. You can't be that bad.
He has zero power mixed with very limited contact skills.
That's my point.
That's putting it nicely. So, the speed that he has can't really be put to use unless he's pinch running for someone. Okay? So, the Yankees need to get themselves an upgrade from Tyler Wade. They've got a little bit of money.
We have Gardner to do that. We don't need to cut Tyler Wade on the fucking roster because he's fast. Gardner is just as fast as Tyler Wade, quite literally.
Literally, we do not need Tyler Wade.
No, I agree with you. We need a real utility infielder. We don't need anybody crazy, but come on. You're telling me you'd rather have Tyler Wade on the team even over something like Derek Dietrich?
Obviously, when Voit comes back, you can you can make Odor the utility guy if you want.
And that's fine.
And that's perfectly fine, but Tyler Wade can't be on the team anymore. It sends a bad message, honestly, that you're going to let a bad baseball player just continue to play for your team. They have to move on from him. He came up in 2017.
It's been a while.
He's been up and he's shown no noticeable signs of improvement as a baseball player, really. He hurts his team. He can't bunt. He can't make contact. He can't hit for power. He can run. He doesn't have a great arm. His defense is questionable and, he doesn't do anything particularly super well, and it's just time to move on and get someone who at least has one trait that they do super well that you can say, okay, this guy, he may not be able to field, but he hits the shit out of the ball. Or the opposite. Hey, this guy won't hit, but my God, he's such a wizard defensively. He can play left field, right field, center field, shortstop. Doesn't matter. He's like a Swiss Army knife, like a Ben Zobrist. Awesome. Just find someone. It can't be Tyler Wade anymore. It can be Rougned Odor if you want. I don't care.
Who with that?
Odor is not going to be a starting player when Voit gets back. You're going to have DJ at second, Voit at first. So, Rougned Odor should be...
He's a great utility guy. I've been saying, I was a little, questionable with the move at some point, although initially I said I loved it. And I still think it's a good move. It wasn't a great move overall, but it was a good move. But regardless, he's been clutch, man. He's been coming up in some big situations and getting the job done, and that's more than a lot of this team has been able to say all year. So credit to him for that. And even if the overall numbers aren't the best, at the very least, when he's at the plate, I don't look at him and think there's no way he's going to come through here. When Tyler Wade's at the plate, I have zero faith. Zero.
Well,
with Odor at the plate, I think there's a chance. I do.
Yeah, Odor will just... He won't walk. He will not walk.
Actually, he will walk. It's just that his what's it called? He's actually getting better at walking than like the last couple years in comparison.
That's nice to see. But, you know, he's like normally like he won't
but
walk.
But his average
like,
is so low. So
but like he swings the bat and like he'll swing. And like occasionally when he swings, he'll connect and he'll hit it hard. And that's more than Tyler Wade
I will
can
say.
Say.
When Odor hits home runs, it's pretty beautiful.
It is pretty fun.
His home runs are really nice.
Even the single he hit yesterday was fun.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he doesn't just hit home runs. Like, he could slap some singles around. Like, he's not just, like,
They play him the
pole
a lot. So, like, if he's
like, I don't watch him and say, this is like Chris Carter. I think he has the tools to be
a
much better hitter. Yeah, he's somewhat competent at the plate. Like, he actually has a real approach when he's up there. Like, he's not just swinging away. I can tell when someone's just swinging away. That's not Odor.
No.
So I think, honestly, his numbers could improve over what they are right now. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Best Yankee infielder to wear number 18.
Wow, you went there.
Oh. I just had some people just, like, paint a target on my back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that was just a joke. I take it back. No, I don't. Moving on. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. You know, let's get into these games. Do you want to burn the games? Or
I got it.
Okay, you can burn the games.
All right.
Fire away.
Go through the Cleveland series. First game in Cleveland. We got some good times coming, finally, and man, they were much needed. Guess who gets the job done today? We all know, but tell me, Tom, who does it? Come on, you know.
I'm sorry, I was muted.
Say it.
Who started that first game? Herman?
Oh, yeah, baby. Herman gave us a solid outing, and there's no denying it. He started rough, but you know what? Two earned runs, three runs total. You take that every day of the week. You gladly take that. And he's followed up by Loaisiga, Chad Green, and Chapman, who all give up no runs. And as for the bats, they came alive that game a bit. They ended up scoring six runs in the game off of a DJ LeMahieu RBI single, a Gleyber Torres RBI single, Odor with an RBI single, and then you finish the game with a beautiful Higgy home run because Higgy is the guy. And I love him. So, the Yankees win that game with relative ease. And it's good times in Yankees land after that one. But we have another good game coming up. I know, it's hard to believe. I was shocked myself.
Oh, my God.
Two in a row. It's kind of a little creepy, honestly, at that point. But
this was the Montgomery game, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was the Montgomery game. And the best part about this game is we didn't just hit. We hit homers, and not just one homer, not just two, not just three.
Four.
We hit four. And that was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, the pitching wasn't stellar this game. Starting pitching, rather. You know, Montgomery pitched 4.2, three earned runs. He could have done a lot better, obviously. But I also think they could have maybe gave him a little bit of a longer leash. But with that said, Lidke did his job. O'Day did his job. Chad Green did his job. And Chapman did his job. And as for the bats, where did the homers come from? Well, we got homers from Aaron Hicks, Odor,
Giancarlo.
And two from Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
And they were fucking bombs.
He like, does that.
They were, like, how, I think it was hit at, like, 119 miles per hour, probably, right? It was, like, it was launched.
But he hits balls that, he hit, like, at least, like, seven balls this road trip that were over 115 miles per hour.
I'm pretty sure they said that was the first time that any player had two home runs in a game that were both over 115 miles per hour.
Yeah, he just, like, he is the StatCast god of all time. He is, like, there is nobody that even compares to Giancarlo Stanton
Not even Judge.
Yeah, like Joey Gallo hits him hard, but he barely hits, so... shots fired.
Wow.
Very happy with this game. Monty got pulled, and he wasn't too happy about that, though.
He was not happy. Yeah, that's a bummer. I don't like sad Monty.
And it happened again, too. So, like, Aaron Boone, I believe John Boy kind of brought this up yesterday. It was like, Jordan Montgomery keeps getting pulled, like, where, like, the last batter leaves a sour taste in his mouth. Like Glaber made the error, and that messed up his win. Boone with Chad Green ready. We're gonna get into this with Chad Green ready. He let Montgomery pitch to Mancini, and Mancini took him deep. And like baseball logic, that made no sense. Gonna be honest. And we're gonna get into that later.
I'll say this: I thought about it for a long time. I'm kind of back and forth on that one. Part of me says you could have. I get why they let him start that inning. Part of me says
if you have
no.
Green ready, you just shut it down.
Well, that's the point. If you already were warming up Green, then yeah, you should have brought him in.
Boone didn't
but
even
like
hesitate.
My point is, you didn't need to do that though. I don't think you needed to warm up Green to begin with. Like if he wasn't warming up, and they said, like, you know what, Monty, you try going one more.
If there's nobody warming, then cool. But like you had Chad Green ready, and like Trey Mancini hits lefties, so like.
No, with that logic, I agree. Definitely.
So turn him around, get the platoon advantage, you know, yada yada yada. But like logic doesn't make sense for Aaron Boone sometimes, and like that's why he didn't walk Cedric Mullins. But like whatever.
Game three.
Game three, Garrett Cole.
Yankees win again. Garrett Cole. 7 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 3 hits total. Oh, God, he's so fucking good. I can't. He's so good. And then that's followed up by outing from Justin Wilson and Loaisiga, who both gave up no runs. They're doing their jobs there. Good for them. And the Yankees bats, relatively quiet, but they did just enough to get us the win with Aaron Hicks hitting a home run against Bieber. And then later on,
Odor. We have
Rougned Odor hitting a homer. Oh, God. Rugi, man. He's so good. I can't
raise the Rug.
Rugi is just fun, man. I don't care if he's not necessarily the best player, technically. He's just a fun dude. So the Yankees win that game 2-1. And again, it is all good vibes, and we're hoping to get the sweep. But in the end, the Yankees could not do it as they lose the last game of the series, which I was okay with. Like, you take the 3 wins after the slump we were in. Like, that's... It was a good series overall. You take that. But the Yankees lose that last game 7-3 with Tyone on the mound. He went 4 innings pitched, 4 in runs. And it was a bummer because he actually looked like he showed some really good signs of life and improvement that whole game, honestly. Like it was frustrating because you can tell, like just like with Kluber, like in his previous outing, he was so close, but he just wasn't quite there just yet. And I think, I think next outing, Tyone takes that next step. But in the end, he gave up those 4 runs, like I said, 6 strikeouts, and he's followed up by Nick Nelson and Luis Sessa. Rough outing for Nick Nelson, who gives up 3 earned runs, and Sessa does his job because Sessa is a really underrated pitcher at this point. Dude, Sessa is...
They just only use him in, like, blowouts now. So,
and he's not bad at all, man. Like, he's consistently good.
Yeah, he's fine.
He is.
He's fine. I don't have a problem with Luis Sessa.
We all used to hate him too, which is hilarious.
Yeah, he used to be terrible, but now he's just like okay. He's just there in the bullpen and he does his job and it's like, all right, cool.
But just to note, the Yankees offense, it all came from the 4th inning with back-to-back homers from Gio and Mike Ford, the power of the stash. I will
scoreboard.
Say, Mike Ford's home run was pretty majestic. I'm not even going to lie.
Oh, yeah. When he connects, it's actually really fun. He just, like...
I mean, he's the pride of Princeton.
Yeah.
Princeton, baby.
First base. Mike Ford. We found our lefty power bat. I'm kidding.
Wow.
But yeah. Tyone was, like... Here's what happened. He got too fastball happy in that inning in which he blew up. He left pitches that 0-2 pitches in the zone, 0-2 fastballs in the zone, and he got hit hard. So basically, what happened was he got a little greedy. All right, got a little greedy, and he got burned for it.
I'll say this: Tyone is awesome, and I like his I love his stuff, but he can be a little predictable sometimes.
Yeah,
because when he throws fastballs up, that's always what he does. That's literally just anytime he throws a fastball, he's looking to go up. It's very rare that he's going to throw a fastball in the lower part of the zone. So if you're a hitter and you're thinking
fastball. Yeah, just switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, like you, as a hitter, you know it's going to be middle up. So you're going to gear your bat path towards that part of the zone. And if you get the pitch you want, you're going to do some fucking damage. So, you know, Tyone, I would say the big thing he's got to do is try to get the off speed mixed in a little more and maybe just try using the lower part of the zone sometimes with your fastball more, because it doesn't hurt. Like if you're hitting your spots, it doesn't matter if you're in the lower part of the zone. You dot it, they're not going to hit it. And it's been proven. I mean, guys like Kluber, he'll dot his fucking fastball on the lower part of the zone and he's fine. But he's smart. He goes from in to out with the zone instead of up to down like Tyone does. They pitch very differently, actually, like basically opposites.
Yeah, I mean, Tyone is just like, he's got this Michael Pineda thing too, where he just like, it's like almost like he throws too many strikes at some points. Like, it's like, you might want to waste one here. The one pitch that stands out to me is like you said, he was going to throw an 0-2 high fastball to Eddie Rosario and he didn't get it up enough and it leaked back into the zone and he lined it for a single. And it's just like that. It was like stuff like that screwed him over. It's just like, listen, you got good stuff. You throw, you got a good fastball.
Use it right.
But like also don't forget that you have like two really good breaking balls and a changeup. Like,
yep.
Especially if you're going to throw the fastball this much, if you're going to throw a lot of high fastballs, a changeup down and away is just like a weapon to be used. And you're seeing Garrett Cole use it a lot.
Yeah, he needs to talk to Garrett Cole in the gas station.
Like,
that's
that
what they got to do.
Like, the changeup, it doesn't even have to be a good changeup. It just has to be an existing changeup. Like, literally, yeah. Garrett Cole's changeup isn't even, like, the greatest pitch. It's not like Pedro Martinez's changeup. But because he throws 90, 96 to 100, and, like, he's just got this overwhelming spin rate and all that on his fastball, and it's just, like, an overpowering pitch, everyone has to gear up for it, right? And, like, everyone's so used to his curveball and his slider. And they're both nasty pitches, but like now you're adding a fourth. Now you're adding a changeup that looks like a fastball, and then it doesn't get there. And it's like, oh my god, that is like. Have you noticed that Garrett Cole's cut down his home runs?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You want to know why? Because instead of throwing fastballs in certain counts, he throws a changeup now. Okay. And like that is like. I believe Tyone could be very similar because he's got a very similar arsenal to Cole, just minus the velocity that Cole has on his fastball.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Tyone's not going to be hitting 100 anytime soon. He used to be able to, but, like, you know, who knows? Maybe he gets that back, but, like, he doesn't need it, really. He's, like, 93 to 95
I'm just
days.
Looking at Garrett Cole's numbers right now, and he's fucking stupid.
He's
crazy. His hits per nine is just 5.7, which is the lowest of his career so far. He has a 0.3 home runs per nine rate right now.
He doesn't give up hits, he doesn't give up home runs, and he strikes out a lot of people.
And he's not even walking people.
And he doesn't walk people.
Right now, he literally has the best walks per nine in baseball.
Yeah, he doesn't walk people. Like he got to three and two a few times in Cleveland, and he's just like, I'm not walking this person. I'm just throwing a fastball.
Yeah. It's smart because his fastball is so good that you're probably not even going to hit it.
If he wants to blow a fastball by you, you're done.
His
fastball velocity and his fastball spin rate are up from last year. He's like averaging 97 now, if I remember correctly. Like
he's throwing harder this year so far.
Like he's throwing harder, but the spin rates are even higher too. And it's like
it's just like with Chapman, man. He just came in looking like
Garrett Cole came in like he was like ready to go. He's like, okay, full off season, full spring training at the gas station. Okay, full season, right? You got full 162 games. I'm coming out hot, like opening day.
Yeah, looking right now, man. His curve spin is 91st percentile.
Yeah, it's just like ridiculous.
And his fastball spin is 95th. And that's with 99th fastball velocity.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, man. It is. He's like DeGrom with run support. I'm just kidding. Come on, man. Like,
DeGrom creeps me out. I'm going to be honest.
Why?
Because he should. Him throwing so hard is creepy to me now.
Because he never used to do velocity. And he's like in his early 30s now.
Yeah, because just think about like where he was like 4 years ago, like velocity wise, and where he is now.
You want to hear a fun stat?
I might know this.
You know, like him and Clayton Kershaw are like the same age.
Oh yeah. You got that from John Boy, right?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like by the time DeGrom broke into the league, Kershaw had like two Cy Youngs or three Cy Youngs.
It's crazy, man. And like the even crazier thing is like again the fastball velocity. He literally is. The
he hardest just keeps adding it. It's just like
he literally throws harder than Cole.
I watched the start against the Red Sox. It's 98, 99, 100, 98, 99, 100, 98, 99, 100.
Like, he throws harder than Cole.
He literally throws harder than Cole. Like Garrett Cole will mix in a 95, 96. DeGrom doesn't drop below 97.
That's so whack.
It is heat on top of heat. Remember Gardner took him deep a few years ago?
I do.
To win the game, I believe, too. I think he had a changeup.
People love to have the debate of who's the best starting pitcher, Cole or DeGrom. And I'll say this on that topic. DeGrom, at least, DeGrom has earned that rep.
Yeah.
He's earned it. And I definitely feel that way. But if you ask me right now, I mean this, do or die game in the World Series, who do I want on the mound? I'm picking Garrett Cole.
And I'm pressure is a privilege.
Like that guy just has such a winning mentality. He's battle
bulldog. He's Garrett
Cole. He's a total bulldog. DeGrom I love, and I think he can be just as good probably. But the thing
he's
awesome. Just doesn't have that same intensity as well as the same battle tested.
I mean, he has pitched in the World Series.
But we're talking like how many years ago now?
It was 2015. Garrett Cole pitched in the World Series 2 years ago. So like
a very different pitcher back then.
Yeah. Garrett Cole's first World Series start wasn't great, but like that second one in Nationals Park, whatever it's called, I forgot what it's called. Is it Nationals Park?
I don't know.
But like Garrett Cole against the Nationals in that second World Series start was just like as unhittable as it gets. That was the start where it was just like every collective Yankee fan was like, yeah, this is his last start in a Houston uniform. He is never playing for another team other than the Yankees ever again. like we need this guy. And like remember his series against Tampa too?
I usually don't watch the postseason too much. I just can't do it after the Yankees lose. But I ended up watching that series, and oh my god, dude!
Like
it was Game 5 with Cole on the mound, I was like blown away by it.
Like
blown away.
Garrett Cole is just like I have no doubt about like playoff Garrett Cole. It's just like get Garrett Cole to the playoffs, and like he'll be Garrett Cole. Perfect. Like it's not one of those situations where it's like I can't say Kershaw is like a bad postseason pitcher. I just believe he's had bad circumstances, but like.
It's a mix. He struggled, but like it's not because of his mentality.
There's a clear like down, like a slight regression whenever he hits the playoffs. But like there is no regression with Garrett Cole. Like Garrett Cole, Garrett Cole just like fucking shoves. And like
people love the whole clutch debate. But let's be honest, I stand by this. With clutch in the playoffs, I think that doesn't mean you get better in the playoffs. It means you maintain your performance in the playoffs. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar has been banned from baseball.
Wow.
Because after MLB investigated a 2014 allegation of sexual misconduct, he had been working for MLB as a consultant. So he just got banned from baseball.
You got Pete Rose. Wow.
Yeah.
Except he deserved it and Pete Rose didn't, but whatever.
Yes. He's in the Hall of Fame too. So like I don't know what they do now, but whatever. Don't do what he did. But moving back to the Yankees after this uncomfortable conversation. Garrett Cole, very good. Very good. Jacob DeGrom, also very good. The lack of run support that Jacob DeGrom gets, by the way, is just, you know,
it's upsetting.
It's gotten pathetic. Like the Mets, like they have some like terrible at bats, man. Like I watched both Red Sox games that they played, and it's just like they can't lay off curveball to save their life. It's like they have like 10 fucking Giancarlos and Judges, and like you don't want 10 Giancarlo and Judges, like, because of the strikeouts. Well, I mean you do, but you don't. Like you like take the you know what? Here's what I'll say. It's like having Giancarlo and Judge without the batting average or the power. And take the batting average and the power and the on base percentage out of it. And just
isn't that basically this card?
There we go. You got fucking you got Chris Carter. It's like Pete Alonso looks like Chris Carter right now. He can't, like, there were multiple at bats where they faced Matt Barnes where they swung at curveballs that like were bounced six feet from the plate. Like they weren't close. Like he yanked them and they swung. And it's just like these guys like are just not it right now. Name wise, if you look at their names, it's like back in the baseball cards, it's like these guys should be.
Oh, I know.
You know,
great,
you know,
great names, great lineup.
Pete Alonso, 53 home runs. Jeff McNeil, lifetime, well over 300 batting average, right? And on base percentage. Brandon Nimmo has actually been good. Brandon Nimmo, you know, you look at his, you know, Michael Conforto's been awful. JD Davis as well. I mean, JD Davis has actually been good, but like he can't field his position. So it's like, and Dominic Smith hasn't been good at all either. So it's like they're in a collective offensive slump. And honestly, if you look around baseball, we're like living in the dead ball era right now. It's
honestly, I really think they made a mistake with that. Yep, I never thought they needed to do that. Like, I liked.
There is a middle ground before, like in between the juice balls and what we have now.
I am fine with just the juice balls, honestly. I'm cool with it. This is like just depressing.
Give me offense over defense. Just like it's more entertaining. So if the pitchers want to complain, fuck them. Okay.
Agreed.
It's just like I don't care. We need offense. Like I'm tired of this shit. Don't like, come on, put the ball back. But moving on,
I'm gonna do a quick recap of the Orioles series.
Yep,
and we'll talk about that.
That's what I was just about to say. Yep.
All right. Well, here's a mixed bag of a series here. We'll start with game one. Who do we got on the mound? We got Davey Garcia coming up to make a spot.
Surefire win, right, Luke?
You would hope, but no, it is not. Davey Garcia, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. They, like I said, they fucked him over, but they should have let him pitch longer. I think he deserved better. He was not perfect, but he was getting the job done overall. He only gave up 2 earned runs and 3 hits over 4 innings pitched. I think he should have at least gone 5, at least. Because, again, even just from a confidence perspective, going 5 with 2 earned runs is a lot better than 4 with 2 earned runs. I mean, Yankees got to have a little bit more faith in their starters sometimes, and that's what they should have done there.
Yeah, following, I mean,
you know,
why not?
After him, you have Lickie, you have O'Day, you have Wilson, you have Green. You maybe could have saved one or two of those guys, but you know what? They decided to use all of them, whatever they did, and you end up getting 2 runs, a hit off of Lickie, well, one off of O'Day, actually, and one off of Wilson. And the Yankees' offense is really non-existent against, guess who? Matt fucking Harvey. Holy shit. We're back in like 2014 right now. It's pretty wild.
My father was a drinker and a fiend.
Matt Harvey genuinely looked good. It's okay.
Matt
Harvey, he looked good. Actually good. To me.
Rachel. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Every time Matt Harvey gets brought up, I think of Harvey Dent. I'm sorry.
Damn it. Matt Harvey looked pretty good. Good stuff from him overall. Gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run. He had 5 strikeouts. And the Yankees only managed to scrap again. The 1 run off of him, and that 1 run came off the bat of Aaron Judge and an RBI double. That came after Giancarlo Stanton's double. So you had back-to-back doubles, and that was pretty much most of the offense this game. After that, you had Gio driving in a run in the 8th, but you also had Aaron Judge being a dingus and getting thrown out at 3rd base. And because of that, what would have been a second run did not score.
You either die a hero or live long enough to see Aaron Judge get thrown out at third base.
And in conclusion, the Yankees lose 4-2 in that game. So yeah, not fun.
Second yeah, game, and Boone got tossed as well, and that was pretty fun to see.
That was hilarious.
Like he was pissed, and fuck that umpire that just wouldn't give.
Fuck you!
Fuck you! He goes, fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! You didn't even look at me. You didn't even look at me. I was like, umpires can be dicks sometimes, and it's just like, it's like whatever. And like, I don't think it would have made much of a difference. We deserve to lose that game. I'm gonna be honest, like, we should have had a lot more than fucking two runs. That was a terrible game. Moving on to better games.
Second game of the series, much better. The bats start to come alive a little bit again this game, and not just the bats, but as we mentioned earlier, Corey Kluber getting the start here. He goes 6.2 innings pitched, one earned run, five strikeouts, and just two walks. So we had a much better Corey Kluber in this game. CRA is down to a 4.15 now, which is at least getting close to respectable numbers, so that's great to see for him. And in the lineup, you had DJ LeMahieu going 2-for-4, Stanton went 2-for-5, Judge went 2-for-4, and Judge, he hit a nice little homer, his fifth of the season.
He's certainly going to be in the lineup the next day.
Getting Higgy with it, our new starting catcher for the time being, hits a homer, his fourth of the season. And Giancarlo Stanton staying hot with his sixth of the season off of ex-Yankee Dylan Tate. Bang.
Bang, bang, and, bang.
And in that game, the Yankees end up winning 5-1.
5-1, baby. And yeah, all right. And then after this, before we get reports that Aaron Judge has some soreness, so he's not in the lineup today.
A little scary.
No judge. But Aaron Boone hopes to get him in the lineup tomorrow. But he didn't.
Game three, though.
Get into it.
Even without Judge, the bats did their job. And man, this is one of the few games this year where I truly felt like the Yankees just came out and dominated.
Yep.
And it's been a rarity this season. Maybe one or two other games where they
pretty
truly
clean
dominated.
Game. Pretty clean game other than Clint Frazier being an idiot and running third base on a routine ground ball to shortstop.
Yeah, it was a straight-up clean game almost all the way through.
Sands clean. Bats,
yep, scored seven runs, and those runs came off of a Mike Ford homer going the other way. No idea how that one got out.
No, right? that one didn't look.
Yeah.
Like.
Gleyber Torres with a nice little RBI single. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella, hitting a nice homer.
Oi.
Hicks with a sac fly. That was one of the very few sac flies on the season. We don't hit many of them. And the finish the game,
I believe
your
that was
guy,
first.
Clint Frazier, with a homer.
Yeah, he's back. Clint's back.
Yeah, okay.
Clint's back. Come on. He's smoking everything.
Look,
made
he could
nice
easily
plays.
Be back, but you
made
need
a
to,
few
you
nice
need
plays
to actually
in the field.
Yeah, take off the glasses.
Made some mechanical adjustments. He's been working his walks.
Dude,
oh,
you need to take off
God.
The Clint's tinted glasses.
Clint Frazier is back. And he is so back that you can't get any more back than Clint's back.
You make me want to hope he does bad.
Like, come on.
I hope
like,
he does bad. I really do.
You know he's back. And everyone
I hope he sucks
back.
Now. I really do. And it sucks. I like him. But you make me dislike him because of how
Why?
Much you like him.
Why?
Because it's sad. It's a problem.
I don't. It's not a problem. It's a solution.
It's a problem.
It's a solution.
Like, you need to get off Clint's dick. For 5 seconds. That's what I thought. Moving on.
I don't know how to respond
Domingo
to that.
Herman, baby. He gave 7 innings pitched in this game. 3 hits, only given up the whole way. He had a no-hitter going into the 4th or 5th. It was pretty nice, got to say. And 6 strikeouts, man. What a game from Domingo. His ERA is down to 4.05. The numbers are correcting themselves on some of our starters. Very nice to see. And you have Michael King closing out the game. But, of course, because the Yankees are the Yankees, he got sent down after the game. So, you know.
Oh, we forgot to mention. They traded Mike Tauchman.
Yes, we mentioned briefly earlier, but to go deeper into it, we traded him to the Giants for what's his name?
Wandy Peralta.
Wandy Peralta. There we go.
Left-handed reliever. And he's got talent, but, like, they shouldn't have traded Mike Tauchman. I think that's a mistake.
I'm going to say this. We'll see. If Peralta ends up helping us this year and he ends up being good, I'll say the move is worth it because at that point you have him under control for the next 2 years as a valuable lefty reliever that throws gas. And you got to keep in mind, while we're hopefully going to retain some of them, quite a few of our relievers are heading to free agency in the next couple years. So it's good to have another arm there that's somewhat controlled. So we'll see. But at the very least, so far this year, there's a lot to like with this guy. He's given up very little hard contact. He throws total gas. He gets a lot of guys to chase, a lot of swings and misses. There's a lot to like there. And last year, even though it was a short sample, he did very good as well. And even so far this year, the peripherals are actually better than they were last year. So I think there's a lot to like with Peralta so far. So we'll see what happens. But I think the move will very easily work out for the Yankees in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's one of those things. I'm very disappointed, to be honest.
We love Talk Daddy. That's all it is.
You know, Talkman, you know, especially with like Hicks struggling and like Guardy kind of not being great as well.
Well, we have Florio.
Like, fuck you. Fuck you. Hi, Mom. Moving on. Oh, yes, they, by the way. Yes, they shouldn't have traded Talkman. I'm very adamant about that. I don't like it. Why? Just answer why.
Because we have two other outfielders anyway, and we're gonna have, again, I think the Yankees know in early on in the season with the starters having the problems with giving length at times, they value having another reliever that can throw some innings, and I get that. I do. I mean, especially if he ends up being good, which I think he really will be. Again, it becomes an easy move. I don't think it's a bad move at all at that point, but we're going to have to wait and see. The verdict is out. I saw a fan graph say this. Someone who wrote an article deep diving into both players. It's like a quarter for a quarter with both of them being scratched. Like, they both have their issues. Neither are perfect.
Talkman,
but there's upside
issues
to both, and there is value there. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I liked our quarter better than their quarter, to be honest. But it's not anything against Wandy Peralta. It's just the fact that like you have like what? You've gotten like very little production out of the outfield and you didn't give Talkman a shot at all. They didn't give him a shot.
Like, no, I agree.
Let's be honest.
They never did. But
they pinch ran him. They put him in for defensive substitutions, but they never gave him playing time. They never gave him like starts in the field. They never actually said, Talkman, let's see what you got, buddy. And, like, that's a far cry from when they acquired him, and, like, he was, like, one of those everyday players. And it's just, like, I understand that Talkman wasn't good last year. He had a shoulder injury. But, like, he deserved, especially with Hicks and Clint and Gardner just not getting it done. Like, before you make that trade, why not see if you can get a few nice games out of Mike Talkman?
I'm pretty dumb with Hicks.
Oh, we gotta get into this too.
We'll save Hicks for after because
yes, we gotta save Hicks for the fourth game because there. Yeah, I mean, just he pissed me off yesterday. I'm gonna be honest.
So the last game we have, this one's a rough one. This is one of the rougher losses of the season. The Yankees
up my life too.
They come into this game feeling good with Monty on the mound, who actually tosses a pretty good game overall. 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. Definitely not a bad game at all. It's a very respectable start. And it's followed by Chad Green, Darren O'Day, Chapman, and Loaisiga. We already did a deep dive into why we didn't like the order of those pitchers, so we won't even get into that. But in the end, really what happened is the Yankees offense just didn't do enough. We had a nice RBI single from Odor that drove in 2 runs, and that was pretty much the only source of the offense until the 9th inning, until Torres hit a ground rule double.
What a great piece of hitting.
Yeah, no, that was great job.
That was beautiful. That is what I gotta get into this really quick. That is what makes Gleyber Torres Gleyber Torres. It's not the big leg kick, big swing. It's like when there's 2 strikes, when he's at his best, he locks it in. He shortens up and he's like, I'm putting that bat on the ball. Like, you're not striking me out easily. Like, there's like a pride thing where it's like, you're not striking me out. I'm going to shorten up. I'm going to put the bat on the ball. And even when he does shorten up, it doesn't hinder his power. He still smoked that ball, you know?
Oh, I almost got out. I mean, that was
exactly. That was it's like he doesn't even need the leg kick. If I were Glaber, I'd just like I would lock it in all the time, baby. That is a great stance. That is a great, you know, those are great mechanics. He just shortens up, puts the bat on the ball, and like when Glaber came up, like he used to do that all the time. And it's like dude, like and also if you look at his peripherals, like he's walking more than he did when he was a young player. He's so like if you add in like the walks mixed with what he does mechanically, what he did mechanically back then, like you're talking about a guy who could have a very high on base percentage, plus power as well. I do think the home runs will come, and like
that's the one thing you at least have to be a little concerned about, just because it's been a long time since we've seen him.
Yeah.
On a real power surge. It's been a
long
time.
I want to see Glaber this month of May as the weather heats up. I want to see this guy putting balls in the seats again.
Yeah, but over the next month,
you know what? You know what? As long as he has a sound process like he did yesterday in that last at-bat, if he has a sound process where, hey, he takes his big cuts on the first two, right? And he wants to hit a home run, cool. But, like, with two strikes, if he shortens up, puts the bat on the ball, and gets his hits that way as well, that's gonna make the wait for the home runs to come so much easier because he's still getting his hits, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, as long as he's getting his hits, the home runs are gonna follow because eventually he's gonna hit one hard and it's gonna find the seats. And, you know, I think Glaber's gonna be just fine, and it's good to see his defensive improvements. He did make one, like, slight error in Baltimore where he kind of threw it off target, but then again, like, I think any kind of athletic first baseman probably keeps his foot on the bag, but, like, won't get into that. But, you know.
I gotta discuss Aaron Hicks. I can't hold it back.
Okay. You know, actually, just here, I'll finish up your recap. So,
yeah.
We tie the game. We get into the ninth. Aaron Hicks throws a rubber ducky, and we lose on the Cedric Mullen sack fly. And we lose. What was the score? 4-3? 4-3, yes.
Yeah, 4-3.
So we blew the game, really. Aaron Hicks threw a rubber ducky. But
Aaron Hicks, though, like, this is a guy that part of the reason why we liked him so much is because this guy was one of the best defensive center fielders in all of baseball at one point. Like, he really was, but now he's not just not good. I would argue he is quite possibly one of the worst defensive center fielders in baseball. His range has become extremely limited. It really has. Like, he does not get to that many balls. He makes quite a few dumb mistakes in the field. And he doesn't even scare people anymore with his arm. His arm is just weak, man. It's like a Brett Gardner arm in center field, and it's not good. And it's not even accurate either. There's just nothing there.
It's not accurate, man. It's just like he doesn't throw accurate anymore.
It's not accurate, and he's not throwing hard.
Yeah, it's like the velocity definitely took a dip, but also like the accuracy just like isn't there. It's like
so if he's not doing his thing in the field and he's not hitting, he's bringing zero value to this team. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be honest, even when he is hitting, is it really worth it when he's this bad defensively?
Hmm.
I think there's a lot of center fielders you would rather have over Hicks in the league. I'm sorry. Even when Hicks is good, I think there are a lot of guys you'd rather have, probably.
Well, let's think of it. I would rather have Trout. I would rather have Springer. I would rather have Buxton. I would rather have Bellinger. I would rather have Verdugo, honestly, to be honest. Would you rather have Kiermaier?
I didn't think about it. I haven't looked at his numbers.
I would take Hicks over Kiermaier, to be honest. Right now, I would take Mullins, honestly. Mullins is a beast. I love that guy. I love Mullins, honestly. He's a great – he's like kind of a throwback player. He'll put the bat on the ball, man. I would rather have – I don't know if I'd rather have Luis Robert yet. He's got power.
I would.
It's tough. Would. It's just like he doesn't – he's got discipline issues in terms of like he doesn't walk and he strikes out of time.
A bad Luis Robert is better than current Aaron Hicks.
He's a better defender. Robert's a better defender, but for sure as well.
He has an 805 OPS this year. We have 302 batting.
Yeah, right now I would take Robert, sure. And, you know, who's the center fielder for Kansas City? It's not Merrifield. Merrifield's a right.
Wait, here's another one. Lorenzo Cain.
Lorenzo Cain, yes. I would take Cain over him. Would you take Harrison Bader over him? I wouldn't.
I'm going to say no, but
I don't know his numbers well enough to give you like a definitive answer.
Would you rather have? I would rather have
Starling Marte.
I would rather have Trent Grisham of the San Diego Padres over him.
Brandon Nimmo.
Nimmo's not a great defender.
Yeah, so. But at least he hits enough to make up for it.
Sure, that's close. That's really close.
Ian Happ.
I wouldn't rather have Victor Robles.
Oh, here's the easy one. Ramon Laureano.
Ooh. Sure. Like Aaron Hicks kind of fell down, to be honest.
Like, just keep this going. Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, Kyle Lewis is definitely an up and comer for sure. I'm checking Aaron Hicks's stats right now. And here's my problem with Hicks. It's not necessarily like, obviously the production bothers me because
he's not even doing the things that Aaron Hicks does when he's struggling.
Aaron Hicks has been worth negative 0.4 WAR today this year.
He can't field. He's not walking like he used to. He has very limited power. He brings nothing to the table.
Last year he actually was good offensively with a 793 OPS.
Last year he had a good year, but overall though, I mean. Would I rather have, of course, I don't want to be this guy, but the way you get to that OPS does matter a little bit at least. Would I rather have a guy like Luis Robert with his 800 OPS, the way he does it, over someone like Hicks who just walks all the time? Yeah, probably. I'm going to be honest.
You know, Hicks has been worth negative 2 defensive run saved, and we got to talk about this. Aaron Judge also has negative 3 defensive run saved, and
I will say. With him, I do think it's straight up just...
It's straight up the injuries,
The Yankees told him, do not go diving for a bunch of balls. We need
you. He's being too cautious.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he's truly that hurt...
Turn it up. Turn it up. Don't, like, you can't... We need Aaron Judge to play defense like Aaron Judge. Because absolutely. Because when you have Clint and a declining Hicks in the outfield, you need one of those outfielders to be a really good outfielder, and that's Aaron Judge. So
no, absolutely agree with
turn
that.
Turn it up, Judge. If you're not gonna turn it up, you gotta sit for a little bit. And like, I'm okay with a 10-day IL for Judge if that's needed for him to get the soreness out of there and for him to play like Aaron Judge. I just can't deal with him like coming up short on balls again and again. And he's just, come on, clean it up, play good defense. And what's the Derek Jeter quote? If you're, there's a difference between like being hurt and injured. Like,
you know, no, he said it's either you're hurt or you're injured. There's none of that in between. There's no percentages. It's either you are completely hurt, you can't play, or you're 100% fine to go out there.
Yeah.
There's no
bullshit. Like, let's go.
He's absolutely right.
You're a captain. Like, this is an opportunity for Judge to set an example and say, hey, I'm a little banged up right now, but I'm still giving 100%. I'm diving all over the place. I'm trying to catch these balls. I'm trying to help out my fielders. I'm trying to hit dingers, work my walks. And, you know, just let's not, you know, come up short on balls anymore. I understand that he's got the injury history, but if you can't play baseball at 100%, like, that's an issue. I'm sorry. You gotta do it. I don't buy that as an excuse.
No, me neither.
It's like, you know what? If he gets hurt, then there was something that was going to go anyways. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's all it is.
Like, let's go. Come on. You know, I trust Aaron Judge to be a good defensive player without injuring himself.
Absolutely.
Okay. I trust.
Baseball is not the best in right
field. So, really, he can turn these defensive metrics around quickly. Obviously, I mean, short sample size defensive metrics aren't the end all be all at all. Gio, I believe, had like over the first 2 weeks of last year, I believe Gio had like negative 2 defensive run saved, and he ended up with like 6 defensive run saved. So like, you can turn this around quickly, but it's really an effort thing, really. I'm gonna be honest. Like, Judge has to try harder in right field. Like, he jogs after balls sometimes. And like, speaking of jogging, if we're gonna go back to Aaron Hicks, I saw like That Austin Hayes double yesterday, I felt like Hicks was a little slow to get to that ball, to be honest. But, like, obviously, I don't think it would have made a big difference. I think Mullins still scores. But, like, that's the tying run on first base with a speedy runner. And, like, I want to see my center fielder just, like, busting his ass to get to that ball. Mm-hmm. I don't, I like, It felt like he was a little slow getting there. Like, it felt like a jog more than it felt like a sprint, to be honest. And, like, it's like, come on, man. Like, just run your ass off, get to the ball, and see if you can stop Mullins at third. You know, but it just didn't happen, obviously. Mullins comes around to score, and, you know, they tied the game. And, like, you know, what's crazy is, like, if they did, hypothetically, hold Mullins at third, right? I believe, like, O'Day got two straight pop-ups, or, like, two or three straight pop-ups, and we got out of the inning. So, like, hypothetically, like that could have won us the game if there was a little bit more hustle. You know, so I'm not one of those crazy hustle guys. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see, like, 6'7" Aaron Judge on a ground ball to second base run like the wind. But, like, on something like that, on a ball in the gap that can save a run, I want you to run hard. I'm gonna be honest. Like, it didn't feel like you got there quick enough, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably agree. I mean, I do agree there are cases where guys do need to run a little harder. We've seen it quite a few times over the course of the season.
Yeah, times and places.
And not just with, like, one specific player, to clarify. I mean, like, just across the team. Like, we've had moments where we do think, yeah, you could have ran a little harder in this spot.
Yeah, Glaber had an incident last week.
Yeah, I think Stanton had one in your eyes at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few from different guys. But, you know, reality is it is what it is for now, I guess. But obviously, when we get to the postseason, you can't – none of that bullshit, no matter what. You can – every play, I want you fucking running full speed, because that's baseball in the postseason. Full intensity, no shit. I don't even want to hear it for a second that it's okay. Mm. But right now, I'm a little more lenient. That's just the way it is. But that's just for me personally. I'm fairly lenient for sure. But when it comes to it, you better be ready to fucking bust your ass down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with, like, you hit a ground ball to second base and you just jog it because, you know, you're out, right? Like, there are times and places to hustle. I'm not saying that Aaron Hicks has to hustle every single freaking time. It's just, like, on that particular situation, is, like, that was a spot to go 100% and just, like, get to that ball as soon as possible to see, you know, if you can hit the cutoff man, potentially maybe Glaber throws Mullins out at home, or potentially Glaber holds him at third.
Mm.
He just, like, it would have been one of the spots to go, in my opinion. But, you know, it is what it is. Gary lost his job, by the way.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. You know, it is what it is, that too. I mean, I think he earned it for sure. And I do definitely think, just watching, the pitchers feel a lot more comfortable with Higgy 100%. Yeah. And I think Cohn actually brought up good points that I didn't even think about, like how, you know, I think Gary in that position on one knee, and this isn't even his fault, obviously, that's just what he was taught to do by Swanson, but he points out how, at least for him, and he thinks this applies to a lot of other pitchers too, that there's less of a target when you're down on one knee because your body's kind of cut in half. When you're, you know, in a regular catching position, you can aim for the other knee, you can aim for the other side of the body easier. You just have a much bigger target to work with. So I think that's part of it, in addition to also Higgy just being such a good framer, man. I mean, between both, I think, without a doubt, I want Higgy catching Cole always. I want him always catching Kluber, and I would have him catch Tyone consistently. The other two, let them work with Gary.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Gary is very talented bat. He had a few balls nice yesterday, and I hope his bat does, you know, come around and he is an offensive help for us as well. Just right now, Higgy is hitting number one, and he's also he is an elite defensive catcher. Like,
I don't
he
know
is,
what to think about Gary, man. I'm stuck with that, man.
Gary will work himself out.
Because I value the defense so much from Higgy that I think I'd rather have him doing his thing defensively with an okay offensive season than Sanchez raking and being a mediocre catcher. I'm sorry, but that's really how I feel, because I think the value he brings to that rotation is so huge, man. I mean, think about all those called strikes we saw that Higgy managed to frame like a freaking god. Like, if you have Sanchez catching in those spots, I'm not convinced that some of these starters have the outings that we saw recently. I'm really not.
Yeah, just, you know, we're going to need the defense right now.
Also, keep in mind, when this lineup is going, you don't need your catcher to rake, because you should have a lineup filled with guys that rake anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, let's be honest. That I say that during the offseason, too. Like, you know, this is a lineup, when healthy at least. You have Luke Voit, you have Giancarlo Stanton, you have Judge, you have Gleyber Torres, you have Gio Urshela, you have DJ LeMahieu. That's more than enough guys with a track record of hitting that you shouldn't need to have a 30 home run hitting catcher. You just don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the bat is what makes Gary special. And, you know, when the bat isn't hitting, it makes it hard. It makes it hard to play Gary.
Well, you know, the reality is the bat hasn't been special since middle of 2019.
Yeah, it's just there's been a decline, you know, and it's just like it's sad, obviously. And I hope Gary does turn around. I hope Gary, you know, this month fucking hits what 400 and hits like 10 home runs and goes nuts, right? And
hey, if he does that, I'm not complaining at that point. That's him going off. Yeah, my fear, like I said, I don't want him to have a few good games or even one good week. And then he just sucks for a month, because he does that a lot. We've seen it more times than not. So I don't want the Yankees to be fooled by that shit. Have Hickey get screwed over, and then it screws up the team in more ways than one. I just do not want that.
I do have a fear, though. Like, he leaves the team, right, Gary? And he actually figures out what's been going on offensively. And, like, at some point, like, you got to hold the coaching staff accountable. Like, we can't have, like, you know, you see Lance Lynn goes and, you know, he becomes a stud. Sonny Gray leaves, goes to Cincinnati, becomes a stud. And, like, it's just like, you know, and I can't even rule out Mike Tauchman having a really nice career with the Giants as well. It's like, with Gary, like, there's a good shot that Gary goes somewhere, figures out something. And just, like, becomes a beast. And, like, I'm sure the Yankees are afraid of that. But at the same time, the Yankees messed Gary up themselves. Okay? I really believe that.
And I think it's a mix, man. I'll say this.
They didn't hold him accountable. I mean, well...
Oh, you mean in that sense.
No, like, here's what I mean. Comes up 2016, 2017, and he used to have, like, the same approach that Gleyber had. Where it's like two strikes, shortens up, puts the bat on the ball, smokes a ball. And like he was a special offensive talent. And like Tony Pena really worked with him on his catching. And if you remember in 2016, he was actually a very good catcher. He was
2016, he was crazy.
He was like, throwing everyone out.
He moved really good.
He moved well.
Yeah, he nailed everybody.
He was on fire. And like Tony Pena was an awesome coach. You can just tell. He was awesome.
He was one of the most athletic catchers I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then like Girardi and Tony Pena, both catchers, right? And this is where you miss Girardi. And it's like, there was an accountability thing. And sure, you can say that Joe Girardi shouldn't have aired Gary Sanchez out in the dugout. They should have taken it to the clubhouse. And I'll say, sure. I don't think that should have gotten Girardi fired. I don't, like...
No,
like, Tony Pena, they wanted to get that shit fixed immediately. And that's why they did it in the dugout. And, like, Gary deserved to be ringed out for his effort on that day in Cleveland. And, like... They held him accountable. And I think in a lot of ways, the accountability locked him in. And I think, like, in 2018, he actually just had a lot of bad luck on the first year with Boone. But, like, I don't really remember 2018 too well, but I think, like, the defense took a step back.
That year is a blur. In 2018, yeah. I remember he was disgustingly bad.
Yeah, I just, like, 2018, like, he was not, like, actually, like, he was just super unlucky on offensively. But, like,
well, not even just bad. He was a mess.
Yeah, just, like, defensively, he had injuries as well. And in 2019, he comes out hot, and it's just, like, I believe he had an injury, and they let him play with the injury as well. And, like, I believe he had a pulled hamstring. And then, like, that was the month of July in which, like, his numbers cratered. So he hasn't been, like... He's not unfixable. 2020 was the year where it was just like, whoa. Like, and like, you see you know, mechanically, he's been late on fastballs, and he's just they showed the graphic yesterday on Gary Sanchez's average with fastballs against fastballs, and it's just it's cratered. Honestly, he lost. There's something wrong mechanically where he's lost bat speed, and I think a lot of that has to do in terms of back in the day, like Gary used to freaking just like hunt. You know, he used to shorten up. He used to have a good swing pass. He used to, you know, be quick. And, like, he just, like, it feels like over the past few years it's been all big leg kick trying to hit a ball 500 feet. And really, when Gary was at his best, all he had to do was put the bat on the ball because his natural power supplies just, like, he'll hit dingers if he just puts the bat on the ball. I mean, he had a line drive yesterday that was like 110 miles an hour that was caught by the left fielder. Like, he doesn't need the big leg kick. He just had like a toe tap. Remember? You remember the toe tap Yeah, it's like he doesn't have to be this pole happy, all or nothing hitter. He can be so much more, and like nobody told him that. And I don't feel like anybody told him that. And also, defensively, he has, like, I believe he's improved in his framing. I don't have an issue with Gary as a catcher anymore. Like, he's fine. I think Gary Sanchez is more likely to reach his potential with Girardi and Tony Pena on him than they were with Boone and Tanner Swanson.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure. But I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens, but I think we're going to call it there for the show.
All right. Yeah. I mean, what? We got this Detroit series coming up. Garrett Cole on the mound today. Yeah, Aaron Judge is expected.
For a good series.
Aaron Judge is expected to be in the lineup, too. So, yeah. Clint's back as well.
Okay.
It's going to be a fun game. I expect a Yankee win tonight. I mean, you got your ace on the mound against a Detroit team. Let's go. Get a win.
And, yeah, let's win this series. No excuses here. Detroit sucks.
Absolutely. And we got Houston coming up on Tuesday, so.
Oh, baby.
Yep. So, yeah.
All right. Well, this has been fun as always, but until next time, this has been another great episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See everybody.
Peace. Bye, Eddie.